إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد We continue reading from the book of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin bin Muhammad Al-Abbad Al-Badr Tafsir Al-Nasik Bil-Ahkami Al-Manasik Al-Mabitu Bi-Muzdalifa After leaving Arafah the pilgrims they head towards Muzdalifah, a place called Muzdalifah. After the sunset on the day of Arafah, the pilgrims, they head towards Muzdalifah. And they should live with tranquility and peace, in peaceful way. Unlike some Hijaj, start fighting, harming each other. Who's going to get in the buses first? Now, the pilgrims should not harm one another, each other. They should live peacefully. If they were told to wait for their turn, especially now with the crowd, the Hajj now is millions of people make Hajj. 3-4 millions make Hajj. And not everybody is going to make it to Muzdalifah in half an hour or 1 hour. But they take their turns. They take their turns. So, no pushing, no fighting. But unfortunately, you see things happen like that on the Hajj, on the day of Arafah. So once they make it to Muzdalifah, they choose a place, and they sit in it. They settle in it. But they have to make sure there is Muzdalifah. Of course, if they take the buses, alhamdulillah, those buses, they're going to take them to their camps. The same number. They take them to the camps reserved for those people in Muzdalifah. Reserved for them. Because the Shaykh says, for those who, for example, are walking, they should make sure they are inside the boundaries of Muzdalifah. If they just sit somewhere and spend the whole night until Fajr, and then they find out that there was not Muzdalifah, then they have a problem. But this, he says, in our days, alhamdulillah, the government, jazakumullah khairan, they put signs, big sign posts, that tell you that Muzdalifah starts right here, and Muzdalifah ends here. Same thing in Arafat, same things for Mina. They tell you where the boundaries of Mina, the boundaries of Muzdalifah and Arafat. Likewise, another indication in Muzdalifah that you see the lights. The lights are strong and very bright in Muzdalifah. The lights are very bright in Muzdalifah. That's another indication. But still you want to make sure that you are in Muzdalifah. That's the point number one. Point number two, what is the first thing the pilgrims do once they arrive to Muzdalifah? The first thing they do is to pray Maghrib and Isha together, combined between Maghrib and Isha with one Adhan and two Iqama. Why? Because this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. Whether the pilgrims, they arrive to Muzdalifah after Isha comes in or before Isha comes in. Once they arrive, the first thing they do, but one of them called the Adhan, and then for Maghrib, one adhan, then the iqama for Salat al-Maghrib. They pray it together, and then another iqama immediately is called for Isha, and they pray Isha 2 rak'at instead of 4. Maghrib stays 3 rak'at, while Isha is shortened to 2 rak'at. The Sheikh says, and the combining, even whether you arrive before Isha or after Isha, because some people, once they arrive before Isha, because some people, some groups, who they be the first one to leave, it take them only 10 minutes in a bus or 15 minutes at the most, and they make it. So they may arrive before Isha, maybe half an hour, 25 minutes, or more or less. Some of them, what they do, they just pray Maghrib and wait until Isha. But the Shaykh, he says, no, you as soon as you get there, you combine. Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu ta'ala, he said the same thing in Sharh al-Mumta. He said, especially now in the Ziham, in the crowd, so whenever the pilgrims, they make it to Muzdalifah, if they make it after Isha time, they pray Maghrib and Isha together. If they make it before Isha, they still pray Maghrib and Isha together. The Shaykh, he says, a mistake that the pilgrims commit, some of the pilgrims, unfortunately, many of them, as far as our experience, seen a lot of people doing this. As soon as they arrive, instead to follow the Sunnah, by doing what the Prophet ﷺ did, which to pray Maghrib and Isha immediately, now these people, they busy themselves with collecting the pebbles. They be collecting the pebbles instead of praying. All of us should know, and especially these ones, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not collect pebbles until he left Muzdalifah, actually, the next morning after Fajr. When he left Muzdalifah and on his way to the Jamrat al-Aqaba, one of the companions, he collected some pebbles for the Prophet ﷺ, not on Muzdalifah. So this is a big mistake that the people, they do. Likewise, the ulama, they mentioned that once you pray Maghrib and Isha, you lay down, get some rest until Fajr. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't revive that night with recitation of Quran, with dhikr or salat or anything. So you follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If you're hungry, you can eat. You want to use the bathroom, alhamdulillah, but then you lay down. Lay down and sleep until Fajr. Point number 3, that the pilgrims, they spend the night of the Eid, because that's the night right before the day of the Eid, in Muzdalifah until the morning, until Fajr. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he arrived to Muzdalifah, he spent the night in it. He didn't leave Muzdalifah in a night. Prophet ﷺ, he stayed in Muzdalifah and he spent the night in it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, so whoever leave, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Harratali says, whoever leave Muzdalifah before the half of the night, that person has an expiation, has to expiate for that, which is the blood to be shed, meaning to slaughter an animal, whether it's a goat or a sheep, or can share with 6 other people in a camel or a cow. In a camel or in a cow. And by the way, the ulama, they mention the age of these animals are the same age applied on the animals of Udhiyya for the Eid. The camel has to be at least 5 years and older. The cow has to be at least 2 years and older. The goat has to be at least 1 year. 1 year and older, not younger than 1 year. And the sheep, ad-da'an, has to be at least 6 months and older. And of course, have to be free from the uyub, defects, such as it shouldn't be limping, shouldn't be sick, or shouldn't be weak, like have no meat in it, and the like. Now, likewise, the Sheikh, he says, it is not permissible to make tawaf al-ifadah nor rami jamrat al-aqaba before the half of the night. وليس لتلك العبادة وليس لتلك الليلة عبادة مخصوصة. The Sheikh says, this night has no specific worship, like salat, or that has to be performed, or other than it, except the witr prayer, that the Muslim, he performed the witr prayer in every night. So the person prayed the witr, inshallah. Na'am akhi, Yahya. Yes?
Did you say 5 or 2 years for the camel?
5 years for the camel, at least.
And then for the cow,
two. That's the minimum. Has to be at least 2 years for the cow, and at least 5 years for the camel. At least, meaning it has to be 2 and up, 2 and a half, 3, 4, 5, and like. So the Sheikh says, Laylat Muzdalifah, you sleep. There is no specific ibadah, salat, or other than that, except the witr prayer. A person, those people who used to pray witr before they sleep, mashallah, before they sleep, they pray the witr. Those who they get up, alhamdulillah, they wait until they get up before Fajr and pray witr. Rabi'an, point number 4. When Fajr comes in, the pilgrims, they pray the Fajr prayer. And they don't delay it. They should pray it in the beginning of its time. As soon as Fajr comes in, they pray it. Why? So that they can, right immediately after they finish the prayer, they face the Qibla and make dua. See, Hajj always ibadah. Not talk. Some people, they just spend all Hajj talking to each other. If you really are traveling with a friend of yours and you got the habit to talk, he shouldn't be your friend in Hajj. You shouldn't even be next to him in Hajj. It will be better for you not to share with him the same room, not to be next to him in Mina or in Arafah or Muzdalifah, because you're going to be talking. Rather be somewhere that you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or tell your friend, akhi, look, when we go back to the States, we can talk all we want. Right now, let us remember Allah. Let us take advantage of this opportunity, okay? But of course, if he has a question, you have a question, you want to go somewhere, you can talk to each other. But not like just sit there and spend hours just talking about America, talking about sports. No. Don't do that. Don't make that mistake. So the Sheikh, he says, as soon as Fajr comes in, you pray Fajr. We have to make sure in its time. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his book, Fiqh al-Ibadat, in the mistakes in Muzdalifah, he says, you find certain people, they be calling the Adhan 1 hour, 2 hours before Fajr. Why? They just want to do it to pray and leave. Jahl, ignorance. They start, and if you make Hajj, you will see these things. The ulama, they don't bring these things from their mind. These are things that are realities, it happens. And you may see it, you may see people, subhanAllah, an hour away, subhanAllah, early, 2 hours and a half, some groups are already calling the adhan. And some of them, you tell them, okay, it's not time, they're like, oh, subhanAllah, I'm sorry. Some people, they don't care, and they pray and pack and leave. And these people pray before the time. And remember why we're saying this, because if you go with certain groups, it takes one person to do one thing and people follow him. Yes, it takes one group to pack and leave, that's it. You see other people following them. It takes one group to call the adhan and start praying, you find many people starting calling the adhan again and praying. They don't know, but you have to make sure you pray in time. So one fajr comes in, you pray at the earliest time when the fajr comes in, and then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr, dua, until you become very light, bright, but you leave before sunrise. You leave still, you don't wait there until sunrise. Why? Because, as once again, the Shaykh Hidin mentioned it here, but Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the reason why. Because the mushrikeen, they used to stay in Muzdalifah until sunrise. Now, he says, no, those who stay until sunrise, now they oppose the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they agree with the way of the mushrikeen. Likewise in Arafat, you don't leave until sunset. The mushrikeen, they used to leave before sunset. Aina barakallahu fiqh. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ did that morning after he prayed Fajr in Muzdalifah. He faced the Qibla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and made a long dua until he became light. The darkness is gone. And before sunrise, the Prophet ﷺ left Muzdalifah. As it is mentioned in the long hadith of Jabir. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 198, فَإِذَا أَفَدْتُ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْحَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. So once you leave Arafat, remember Allah at الْمَشْحَرِ الْحَرَامِ. And remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala as He has guided you to this. And remember that before His guidance, you were misguided. Al-Mash'ar al-Haram here, for his mention, the Shaykh says, is Muzdalifah. Because Muzdalifah is inside the Haram. Muzdalifah and Mina is inside the Haram, the sanctuary of Mecca. Arafah is not. Arafah is outside the Haram. And that's why some people sometimes they be playing and then they cut off a branch or a leaf from a tree and they're like, oh, the ihram, haram. Actually, this has nothing to do with the ihram, it has to do with the haram. Of course, when you're in the sanctuary of Mecca in the haram, you don't cut no trees. Okay? No branches. But in Arafah, it's okay. But Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, doesn't mean it's okay, go ahead and start digging out trees. He says, no, it's not permissible, especially those trees that are put there by the government for the benefit of the Hujjaj, to bring some shade. No, no one has the right to move those trees. You see? Aynan. لأنه اعتداء على النحل حقوق الحجاج. Because now this is oppression against the Hujjaj, because the government, they put those trees to get some shade, because it gets very hot. Okay. Number 5, the Shaykh says, the weak amongst the women and children and the like of them, people with conditions, it's permissible for them to leave Muzdalifah towards Mina after the middle of the night has gone. Towards the last part of the night, they can leave. Meaning they don't have to stay until Fajr. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ has given permission for them. Prophet ﷺ, in his Hajj, he gave permission for such individuals, the weak amongst women, those people accompanied by children, or elderly people and the like with conditions. These people, they are exempt from spending the whole night in Muzdalifah. They leave before Fajr. Because of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, and also in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, also in hadith al-Bukhari and Muslim, hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, also that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. However, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, rahimahullah, that she used to look at the qamar, the moon, غروب القمر, that they left because Shaykh al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى, he says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم allowed the people with conditions to leave before Fajr when it's still night, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't tell us what time of that in the night. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى says, so that time we know it from the action of a companion, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, she noticed, she was looking at the moon. Once the moon disappears, the moon, you will see it, is over there, the qamar, but then it disappears, alhamdulillah. And I watched it a couple of times, and yes, it starts fading until it's gone. And that's the time when those people, they're supposed to leave. We ask Shaykh Saleh al-Suhaymi, hafidhahullah, he says usually it's an hour to an hour 15 minutes after the last of the night, at the middle of the night. When it's the middle of the night, and remember the middle of the night is not always midnight. It's the half of it. Between Maghrib and Fajr, you see that time divide in half. Shaykh Saleh al-Suhaymi, hafidhahullah, told us, yes, that's where the time where the moon, and we looked at it, we were still up that day, that night, alhamdulillah, and yes, you see the moon, if you can see it, because sometimes it may be cloudy, you might not see it. But that year, alhamdulillah, we saw it, we looking at it until it was gone. And the faith, that's the time when the people, they should leave, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, because now we have an action of a companion, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we understood from here on benefit that those who have no conditions, mashallah, they stay until Fajr, until they pray Fajr in Muzdalifah and make dua and then leave before sunrise. Not like whenever they see people leaving, oh, let's pack up who are they strong, health. It's different. The ulama, they said, if a person, he's in charge of a group of people that they are elderly, sick, children, women with condition, people with condition, that person can live with them because they cannot go without him. See? Included if someone has his wife with him, has his children with him, somebody has his parents or grandparents and the like, elderly with conditions, those people, even though they're young, strong, they can still accompany their loved ones. أعمال يوم النحر. Now I'm going to read to you what the pilgrims do in the day of the Eid, which is now the 10th of the Hijjah. Now we're on the 10th of the Hijjah. So the pilgrim, they already passed Arafat and passed Muzdalifah, and you're not going to go back to this one. That's it. Once you pass Arafah and Muzdalifah, there is no return to them until next year if you want to make Hajj again, inshallah. Okay? So now, what the pilgrims do in this day, the 10th of the Hijjah, which is the day of the Eid, like for those people who are not making Hajj, they have the Eid. Okay, all over the world, alhamdulillah, they celebrate the Eid al-Adha on the 10th of the Hijjah. But what the Hajjaj do in this year, in this day? Four things they do. There are four things that they do in this day. Ramyu Jamrat al-Aqaba. They throw the pebbles in Jamrat al-Aqaba only. There is three Jamarat, but only the Jamrat al-Aqaba. And the slaughter of the Hadi. Okay. حلق الشعر شعر الرأس أو تقصيره أو تقصيره shaving the head or trimming it, that's three. وطواف الإفادة والسعي بعده لمن كان عليه سعي, and the طواف الإفادة طواف الحج, and the سعي for those who have to make سعي. Who has to make سعي on this day? Who remember? Who has to make sa'i? Or in another way, who doesn't have to make sa'i on this day? Tamattu doesn't have to make sa'i. No, the mutamatti' has to make sa'i. Because the mutamatti' alayhi tawafan wa sa'yan. The one who makes tamattu' has to make two tawafs and two sa'i. The one who does not make sa'i on this day is the qarin and the mufrid with one condition. What is it? If they did it when they came, ahsant. When they do tawaf al-qudum, the first tawaf when they just came, if they make sa'i, that sa'i actually is counted for their hajj. And on the day of the Eid, they do only tawaf. But if they didn't do it, then they have to do it. Now, this is what the Prophet ﷺ did on this day, in this order. Jamrat al-Aqaba first, the slaughter, the shaving of the head, and tawaf and sa'i, in this order. It is better, it's not an obligation, it's not obligatory, but it is better to perform these four actions in this order. And by this you will follow the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number two in these actions of the day of the Eid, the Shaykh says, but since some of the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, they did not follow this order, the order of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they asked him. Some of them, when they were told, okay, some of the companions, they were told that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the Jamrat al-Aqaba, followed it with the slaughter, then he shaved, then he made tawaf and sa'i. Some of them didn't do it this way. They did everything, but they didn't do it in this order. So they came to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there is nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Some of them they say, "Ya Umar Rasulullah, we shaved before we slaughtered." Some they say they slaughtered before they do the Jamrat al-Aqaba. Some they shave before the throwing the pebbles on the Aqaba. Some they did tawaf al-ifada, then they do Jamrat al-Aqaba. Some they even do Jamrat al-Aqaba in the evening, because the Prophet ﷺ, he did it in the morning. Prophet ﷺ, he did it in the morning, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some they did sa'i before tawaf. Prophet ﷺ, he made sa'i after tawaf. Now, And we have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقف في حجة الوداع فجعلوا يسألونه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his farewell Hajj, the people began to ask him questions. فقال رجل, a man said, لم أشعر فحلقت قبل أن أذبح. The man says, I slaughtered before I throw the pebbles of Jamrat al-Aqaba. قال ارمي ولا حرج. Prophet ﷺ said to that man, go and do the Jamrat al-Aqaba. It's okay. There's nothing against you. فما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يومئذ عن شيء قدم ولا أخر إلا قال فعل ولا حرج. The companion رضي الله عنه says, there is not a question that the Prophet ﷺ asked. He was asked by the companions, except that he told them, go do it, it's okay. When they told him, we did something before this, not following the order that the Prophet ﷺ did. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. In another narration in Sahih Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, who says, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتاه رجل يوم النحر وهو واقف عند الجمرة فقال يا رسول الله إني حلقت قبل أن أرمي قال ارمي ولا حرج. So I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم on the day of the slaughter, the day of the Eid, while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was standing by the جمرة العقبة, a man came to him and says, O messenger of Allah, I shaved my head before I throw the Jamrat al-Aqaba. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, do it, it's okay. وَأَتَاهُ آخَرْ فَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَبَحْتُ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَرْمِي. Another man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, says, I slaughtered the head before I did the Jamrat al-Aqaba. قَالَ أَرْمِي وَلَا حَرَجْ. He said to him, do Jamrat al-Aqaba, nothing against you. وأتاه آخر فقال أفدت إلى البيت قبل أن أرمي. Another man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, says that he made tawaf before he do Jamrat al-Aqaba. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أرمي ولا حرج. He said to him, just do Jamrat al-Aqaba, it's okay, there is nothing against you. قال عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما فما رأيته سئل يومئذ عن شيء إلا قال افعله ولا حرج. Said, I did not see the Messenger of Allah when he was asked about anything except that he said to the questioner, go do it, it's okay. He mentioned another hadith also that a couple of other narrations, they have the same thing. The ulama, they mention here, if'al wa la haraj, this pertaining to the order. This pertaining to this order of these four actions. However, some people, they expand this to the whole hajj. People tell them, look, he passed the miqat without ihram. No, la haraj. Prophet said la haraj. No, the Prophet didn't say la haraj in this one. So people, they were like, can they spend the night in Mina and Muzdalifa? No problem, la haraj. And the ulama, they address this. They says, no, this is not what he meant by the Prophet ﷺ when he says, if'al wa la haraj, go ahead and do it, is nothing against you. Now this is for those people who, they perform what they're supposed to do in the right way as legislated, but just they find out that they didn't do it in the order that the Prophet ﷺ did it. And because the companions, they were, subhanAllah, they wants to do exactly what the Prophet ﷺ do. You see, the companions, when they heard this, they asked. So now, even though the ulama, they says, for us, that we come way after the companions, hundreds of years, Yes, it's permissible for you to slaughter first, then shave, then tawaf, but it's better for you to do it the way that the Prophet ﷺ did it. It's better. It's better for you to do it that way, to the best of your ability. But if some people, for example, because sometimes you find some people from Muzdalifah, the bus takes them straight to Mecca for tawaf. So you're one of those people. You find yourself in a bus, you think they're going to drop you by the Jamara, you find yourself in a haram. What do? You make tawaf and sa'i, and then come to the Jamara, inshallah. Okay? As for, I want to point out to something we did before, but as for the hadi, the slaughter, of course it is better to slaughter yourself, alhamdulillah, and the sunnah is that you eat from that animal, okay, and you give the rest to the poor of the people, you know, the like. However, these days is very, very, very difficult to do this. For those who have the ability to do it, yes, they should do that, it's okay, it's great reward, alhamdulillah. However, the ulama, they mention that it is permissible to give the money of hadi to those organization that is approved by the government and by the ulama. Don't just give it to anybody, come to you and say, hey. Because sometimes people, they will come to the hotels and they are like, they talk into the hajjaj. Look, we, here we go, they have a coupons or whatever, receipts. Look, we this group, we can do the hadi for you, and we can do the hadi in Somalia, in Pakistan, in Syria, in Algeria, I don't know where. Look, these countries, they like dying, they need, in Africa, in Asia, or whatever, the Morocco, Egypt, especially now with all this chaos and all of this fitan. He says, no, you don't do it that way. Because this is your hajj. If you want someone to do it on your behalf, then you have to do it through those people who are given rukhsah, permission, by the government. They are sponsored by the government and they are praised by the ulama, such as Al-Rajhi, Mu'assasat Al-Rajhi. If you go to Medina or Mecca, you're going to see them, they have booths. Booths where, in places, it's called Mu'assasat Al-Rajhi. You go there and tell them, I want to pay for my hadi, and they will give you a receipt. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that's what you do. Because this hadi, it is not for the poor people in Morocco, or Senegal, or Mali, or Egypt, or Somalia, or Ethiopia, or Pakistan, or Bangladesh, or India, or Syria. No. This hadi is for the masakeen in the haram. First. Okay? So he says, likewise, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned the udhiya too. The udhiya, which is those who are not in hajj, they are everywhere in the world. He says someday, no, don't make the udhiya, just send the money to the people in this country or the other country, they need money for this, for that. The Shaykh says, no, this is not how it's done. Al-udhiya min sha'air al-deen. Wa-ha'ula'i yuriduna an yutmisu hadihi sha'ira. He says, the slaughter is from the sha'air of the religion. If everybody give money to another country, even these children, they don't know what the Eid is. And it will be forgotten. Says, no, you slaughter, and if you want to help the other people, help them. You can still send some money to help them. Okay? Same example for Zakat al-Fitr. Some people, they says, why Zakat al-Fitr? Nobody need rice in here and this. Please just send money to another country. People need it for clothing, for rent, for electricity. No. You practice the sunnah, and if you want to help your Muslims, you can, inshaAllah ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, this mu'assasa al-rajhi, it is proven by the ulama, from the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Abu Ubaid al-Jabir, ta'ala, Salih Suhaimi, many scholars, they said, yes, they trustworthy, and they do the job, they hire students of knowledge from the kulliyat, and the Institute of Knowledge, and they do, alhamdulillah, they make sure that the poor of the haram, they are given enough, and then alhamdulillah they have the means. This is a big, Mu'assasat al-Rajhi is a big company. So they have the means to take care of the meat, They freeze it and they send it. Alhamdulillah, they have the means. They send it to other countries and the like. Okay? So once you get there, ask for that, inshallah ta'ala. The third point, the Shaykh says, these actions, these four actions, remember you're still in ihram now, in a state of ihram, which meaning that you cannot touch perfume, you cannot shave, you cannot do this and this if someone has with his wife, and all of that. But three things. If a person do three out of these four, he has the first tahallul. What do you mean first tahallul? That everything that was haram for him in a state of ihram become halal except enjoying his wife. That's it. That one, he has to finish the fourth one. Okay, to be complete tahallul. These three is the slaughter, the actually two. If he does two of these three, he will have the first tahallul. What are these two of three? Whether the slaughter, the rami al-aqaba, jamrat al-aqaba, or the shaving and the tawaf. For example, if a person came on that day, do jamrat al-aqaba. After jamrat al-aqaba, what was the Prophet ﷺ did? Slaughter the hadi. So you have already paid for that, is like, you consider it done for you. Now after jamrat al-aqaba, you shave your head, at that time you can come out of your clothing of ihram, as the Prophet ﷺ did. When he did this, before he go for tawaf, he took a shower and put his regular clothing, and Aisha put some perfume on him, some misk and the like. Tayyib, you do the same thing. But everything becomes permissible except intercourse. And that will become permissible after the person make tawaf. For the mutamatti' when they finish tawaf, al-ifada and the sa'i. قال النحر فلا علاقة له بالتحلل. Because the Shaykh says, as for slaughter, has nothing to do with you coming out of the state of ihram. Why? Because it is only applicable only on the mutamatti' and the qarin. The mufrid, this doesn't apply on him. Who knows why the hadi does not apply on the mufrid? Huh? Because there is no hadi on the mufrid. That's why. See, that's why the slaughter, it is not included in the things that decide you coming out of a state of ihram, because the mufrid doesn't even have nothing on him, no hadi on the mufrid. So whoever does the three, all of them, then that person has the complete tahallul, including the women. But if he does only two out of the three, then he has to the first tahallul and then the complete tahallul after he finishes all three of them. Now, tafaddal ya.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now I want to make clear this word تحلل because I've seen in the eyes of some brothers make like they were lost. A Remember, when you engage in a state of ihram, when you say labbaik Allahumma hajj, at that moment, there are certain things that you should know, and we mentioned before, become haram upon you to do. Alright? Until you come out of that state of ihram. And coming out of that state of ihram is not by choice, whenever you want. No. If you complete certain things, you with me now? So that's tahallul. In Umrah, when you do Umrah, all you have to do, when in the miqat, when you say labbaik Allahumma Umrah, now those things become haram for you. No perfume and the like, okay? When it becomes permissible for you, everything, when you make tawaf, sa'i, and shave your head, or trim it, at that time, everything becomes permissible for you. Here, when you make the ihram for hajj, everything becomes haram. Those things are still haram until the day of the Eid. The day of the Eid, if that person do the Jamrat al-Aqaba and shave, he can come out of all of the ihram, these things that become forbidden, they become permissible except one. What is it? His wife. Cannot touch his wife. Okay? Cannot enjoy her. He has to do the third one. That's what he means, tahallul al-awwal wa tahallul al-thani. We continue tomorrow, inshallah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslima al-kathira.